have a vacancy we'll be advertising this time, which will be later this week, actually, since Carl was elected to council. He had to resign from PNZ, so we'll be advertising his vacancy as well, and those applications would be due May 3rd. So I just need guidance as to how you all want to proceed. If you want to interview, then we can wait until the new applications come in and do it all at one time, or you can go ahead and make appointments without interviewing, whatever you want to do.
I'm prepared to vote tonight.
I am too, so.
Well, I guess I'm prepared to vote tonight, but I think it's a good idea to interview planning and zoning commissions, or at least first-tier commissions, and I'm prepared to vote tonight, and I think maybe we ought to schedule a vote for the next round, because there's going to be another vacancy.
I would go for postponing the whole thing, and vote. We'd interview people for two positions.
I'd prefer to do that as well.
I'm fine with that.
What was your preference? How do you get
postponing and
to wait and then go ahead and interview for both positions
next month?
I'm game for anything, really, to be honest.
That's okay with me.
So how many want to set up an interview for next month? Raise your hand. One, two, three. Okay, then that's what we'll do.
Well,
so
then
we won't do any
Do you want to tell me when you want to interview? That way, once those applications come in, I can go ahead and, like, start setting something up. I can tell you on May 6th, pre-council, who all has applied. So you'll know that, so that you can make appointments May 20th based on whether you interview in between there.
Are you going to interview everybody? Because you have six applications here.
Do you want to do the thing that you guys have done in the past where you pick so many and then you only interview those many? Okay. Well, then I'll have that ready for you guys to decide on May 6th, and then we can pick an interview date then, too.
In the past, I don't know if the council is willing to do this, but some of the procedure used to be if there were lots of applications and so on, we would form some sort of matrix. And then we would decide and narrow it down to, I don't know, eight candidates or something like that, and if there were that many, and then interview those. So that might, as a suggestion, that might be something.
Yeah, I'll let you know who all, how many we have on May 6th, and then you can decide whether you want to reduce them to how many and when we want to do the interviews. That way it'll give us time to contact the applicants, but those interviews likely would not be able to happen the week of May 6th because we need to give the applicants time to show up, so hopefully the week after or something. Or
have a mini retreat that week too, the 7th of May.
Oh, interview
we
the
set
week,
a
May
tentative
May 13th to 17th.
If that works out for you all.
We set a tentative date for then the May 13th through 17th. That's the following week.
I'll be gone.
Would you want to do use the pre-council time at the next meeting? I think is that the 20th?
Oh, on the 20th.
That's an option.
When is
you already
submitted
for that?
I don't have it down. Wait.
The 20th pre-council?
When is the mini retreat?
7th and 8th, I believe.
What time is that?
I'm going to be at a work conference that week.
6 p.m. Both nights.
Mr. Trapp, when did you say you were
going? I'm going to be out of town that week, the week of the mini retreat, the 7th through the 10th, and I'll add the weekend. It's okay. I mean, my conflict came up, so.
But we'll get you all the materials, and then if there's anything you'd like to share at those meetings, just shoot me an email. We'll have it in the record that way.
Okay.
So would the 20th work for the pre-council? For the interviews?
That would work.
That gives you an hour. We can start earlier if you have more slots you want to.
Yeah, it depends 20th, on how many people.
And ahead of pre-council?
That would
or
be
in lieu of pre-council?
Well, I think, shall we say, just in lieu of pre-council at this point, and then if there are more candidates than you can fit, we can move the time
there
back.
There are six candidates. That's 10 minutes a candidate.
There may be more, though.
Well, if you want to talk to all of them.
Yeah, we can have 5 minutes, 3 minutes, or however many minutes we want.
I like where we pick three, and then we got it down to a list. Talk for a few minutes with each one.
There'll be two positions?
Right, yeah. One's an annual, so full five-year term, and then one's whatever is remaining off of Carl's.
About 4 years.
So people who have already applied won't have to reapply?
No.
Okay. Next item is Certified Tourism Ambassador Program.
Great, you may have noticed my fancy pin. I am pleased to say I am a Certified Tourism Ambassador, and this is one of the terrific ideas that that Amy came with, and she is prepared to, with help from a team of folks, give us an overview of the status of that program. Amy.
Beginning in June of last year, we started searching for a program that would be an educational tool, not only for customer service, but for tourism and the impact of tourism and what exactly that word is and how it affects citizens of Columbia. So we did some focus groups, did some expert panels, many, many months of research and working with Tourism Ambassador Institute and Mickey Schaefer. We launched a program called the Columbia Tourism Ambassadors in March. We had a goal for the calendar year of 2013 to have 150 certified tourism ambassadors by December. At the end of April, we will already have had 90 people go through the program and become Columbia Tourism Ambassadors. So it's safe to say that I believe we are going to meet our goal and surpass it. I have brought Megan McConaughey and Julie Osmus, who have been going out in the community and telling people about this program, to talk to you a little bit about what this program is, how excited we are about it, and how perhaps you can become involved in it.
The CTA program is a nationwide certification program that serves a purpose of increasing tourism here in Columbia by inspiring and training our frontline hospitality employees and volunteers. And what we do is train them and inspire them to have turn every visitor encounter into a positive experience. The CTA program is a nationwide certification program. So there's a competitive advantage, there's product knowledge, there's the consistent messaging to participating participants about the community, and product knowledge. They learn about what there is with regard to tourism in Columbia. The CTA network covers 18 programs in 17 states with over 100 participating destination marketing organizations. And we're only the second program in Missouri to participate. We're very excited about that. The program currently has over 8,500 CTAs. And the program kicked off in March with our first class. There are four modules in each class, so the class is roughly 4 hours. And it concludes with an open book exam. The modules are The Power of Tourism, Discovering Your Region, Knowing, Finding, and Using Resources, and then Exceeding Customer Expectations. And once certified, the CTAs can log on to the CTANetwork.com. They can interact with other CTAs. They can have access to special offers from local businesses. They can read articles about tourism and their destination. And they can also earn points towards the annual certification. So you might ask, who are CTAs? CTAs can be any citizen that's interested in tourism and making Columbia more welcoming. It can be airport employees, police officers, restaurant servers, hotel front desk workers, taxi drivers, government and hospital employees, as well as any retail employee. And part of the, Amy touched on some of our project background, but we started with focus groups. We conducted two focus groups of people who interact with visitors to find out what type of information visitors seek most often, and then also what type of tools they need to better serve those tourists. We held a subject matter expert panel, and this allowed the facilitators to delve deeper into the top subjects that were identified in the focus groups. And we sent out a survey to our tourism industry partners. Once we gathered all that information, once the data was collected, we developed our curriculum, and we had curriculum writers do extensive research to create the Columbia-specific criteria. And then once we developed our criteria, Megan and Amy actually conducted our first official CTA class. It was our field test in early February. And we will be having classes at least once or twice every month from here on out.
So now that Julie has covered the basics of the CTA program, I'm going to go over some of the benefits, why we chose the Columbia or the Certified Tourism Ambassador program. There are other programs nationwide that do this sort of thing. This is by far the best available, and we've been really excited to find out all the benefits that this program offers our destination. It kind of falls into a triad of benefits. First, of course, for the employees, these frontline hospitality workers that are so important to making every visitor encounter a positive experience. It really gives them the knowledge to keep them up to date, which is, of course, important for any visitor who comes into town. You want them to get the most current knowledge that's available. They also have a renewed sense of pride in their job. It's resulted in reduced turnover rates at quite a few tourism partners, and it also encourages their employees to aspire to career advancement. Moving on up to employers, it provides networking opportunities, local discounts for their employees, and we also encourage managers to go through the training as well. We've had quite a few hotel GMs go through the program, restaurant owners that were in our field test, owners of taxi companies. They can really see the benefit that's generated. And most importantly, for the community at large, the CTA program is exceptionally important. An engaged, informed group of CTAs greatly enhances visitors' experiences, making Columbia a more desirable destination and increasing the local economy. Great frontline service isn't just appreciated by visitors. Citizens benefit from it as well every day. It also encourages the entire city to become part of the tourism experience and helps create a new sense of community. The program has benefits that cover the tourism industry, local businesses, and individuals. CTAs become confident evangelists for their destination, thereby increasing the quality of customer service, which has positive ramifications, especially economically, across the destination. Tourism is big business in the Columbia area, with hundreds of millions of dollars generated by visitor spending each year. That's why it's so important to concentrate on the visitor experience. The front line is the face of that experience. They are what the visitors will remember. They are who create the emotional experiences that visitors have. The CTA program has a domino effect that starts with the frontline employee and ends with the economy of the community growing. As far as the City Council and CTA, whenever we're talking to groups, we like to talk about how we can work with you. CTAs have a great sense of pride about their destination. We've really seen that, especially in our hotel front desk workers who go through the program. They leave with a really renewed sense of pride with the importance of what they do. And so they view their work as more than just a job, and they go out of their way to make sure each visitor has a positive interaction during their time here. As Julie mentioned earlier, we're only the second CTA program in the state of Missouri, the other being Kansas City. So this is an incredible opportunity to establish ourselves as a welcoming community where people are warm, knowledgeable, and genuine. This program can truly align a community to recognize the importance of tourism. It gives the city a common goal to work toward, and it also provides a competitive advantage when trying to bring new business to our city. So I would invite all of you, as Mr. Mathis said, he already has his shiny gold CTA pin. So we would definitely invite all of you. You will probably see one of our smiling faces as a facilitator in the class. And those are, you know, online right now at ctanetwork.com for you to sign up. And we also encourage you to talk to your fellow Columbia citizens and to your constituents about why tourism isn't so important and how this program supports that industry. So at this point, we're opening the floor to any questions you have about the program or anything else. I know we went through it really fast.
Well, let me just jump in. One of the things that I loved about it when Amy pitched it was, and she pitched it at the perfect moment, by the way, in her interview for the job. So it was a great way to hook me, I guess. and Carol Rhodes as well. Imagine a scenario. I mean, you've probably had the worst travel experience of your life somewhere. Maybe you had the worst cab ride, and that kind of sticks with you, right? And I know for me, it made me not really want to go back to that town very soon. But if you flip that and you have even your cabbie can tell you great stuff about the city and find out what you're into and then give you an itinerary as you're driving to the hotel and tell you what you need to make sure to do, this is a tremendously powerful tool. And it really is a game changer, really, for the industry. And you see even, you know, minimum wage front desk folks who get into it and really enjoy providing that kind of service. And, you know, the goal is to get repeat customers come back to Columbia. Tourism's big business for Missouri. It's big business for Columbia. I think we calculated what the average taxpayer would have to pay if
an average taxpayer would have to pay an additional $1,000 in taxes each year that is now covered by visitor spending here in the community.
You think about the sales taxes we rely on. That's huge. So this goal is really an investment in our revenue base in a cold-hearted financial way. It's also to be great at what we do. So I love the program. I'm proud to have gone through it, and I know we have other folks who did it with me. Carol was in the class with me, and other folks that went through before me. So at this point, I can plan your itinerary.
That's right. He's certified.
After I find out what you're into.
Funding for this is going to come through our tourism task?
It's already paid for by the CVB. That's
okay.
Right.
And will all employees go through it, or is this just on a volunteer basis?
We hope all employees will. The chief of police has already been through it himself and has said that he is going to send all of the police officers through it. And I don't know the number off of the top of my head, but there have been quite a few. This is actually a pay-to-play. It's $25 to sign up and be a part of this organization. We hope to, in the next year, start making money to put back into this program and build it.
So the short answer is I'm very interested in that, but we do want the private sector to be first at the table, so to speak, and then when classes start to lighten up, we'll fill in with employees. But we're going to have key folks go through.
This sounds like organized New Orleans, because that's what they do in New Orleans.
Everybody's and you think of Austin, too. They know what business they're in, and they've embraced it.
Yeah.
While that is not our sole reason to be, it's certainly a very important part of our makeup. So we're embracing it in this way.
Partnered at all with the chambers and with all the business owners?
Go ahead.
We've had chamber staff go through it, and we've also had some of the chamber ambassadors go through it. So the word is spreading, and we are trying to get the word out into the community to get more involved.
What about the Board of Realtors?
We are trying to contact some realtors to get in there. Our success has not been great at this point. So if any
the Board of Realtors, because they have their monthly meetings.
We haven't spoken to them yet. I'm sure they're on our list. We've spoken to everyone from Optimist Clubs to we're speaking to a Parks, Rec, and Tourism class tomorrow. So Julie and I have lots of people have seen our faces talking about
and
this.
And you're in this. This is part of the CVB? Is that? Yeah, okay.
Great.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good work.
Thank you.
That's really the agenda for today. So we give plenty of time for those three topics, but we've been great.
We could retake pictures.
Love that. So we have some time.
I'd just like to let everyone know there is an item, actually there are two items on today's agenda that I may have a conflict of interest in, although Sheila tells me that the conflict of interest will come at the next council meeting. But if you just look at, under consent agenda at R6913 about construction of walkways, fencing, bench and patio in front of Douglas High School, and then also under introduction and first reading B10913, which relates to the same project. This is a project that I initiated and was involved in until I stepped down from my position at PedNet, in which PedNet will be providing Parks and Recreation with some funds from a grant that PedNet holds to do some pedestrian-friendly improvements in kind of concert with the new crosswalk and median that has just been finished up there in front of Douglas High School.
It's not necessary for the introduction first reading since that's just a notice.
That's, yeah. Is that right?
But
that's my understanding, right. But I didn't realize that it was on consent, the setting the public hearing, so for that he should probably abstain, right? The resolution setting the public hearing. Either way, he still would have to abstain. Okay.
Why don't we just let him... Why don't you just ask, when I ask if there are any revisions to the agenda, ask to abstain from that part of the consent agenda, and when you ask for the vote, can he vote for all but that?
Correct. Right. Yeah, we can do that.
Or you can pull it out when you ask for votes. All the consent agenda items minus that.
Right.
And then ask for that one separately. Can you do that?
No, I need to read them all. If it stays on consent, I need to read them all on consent, but he'll just say yes except for our.
You're right.
Okay.
And
so that's what you'll
do. So under the adjustment of the agenda, he'll bring it up, and then someone will have to make that motion to allow him to abstain, and someone will have to second it, and you guys will have to do it.
And all that happens at the start under changes to the agenda.
Yeah, that's fine. Okay. Yeah. Although it's not technically a change, it'll just be.
But we don't need to worry about the introduction and first reading.
Correct.
Okay.
And then I'll get you the form that you have to fill out as well.
Actually, I have it, and I filled it out. There you go. Is that all right?
And everyone should have received an email that I am going to also ask for a change in the agenda to reconsider the extension of the moratorium on the illuminated sign. Add that to introduction and first read.
So there'll be two changes to the agenda. Correct?
Technically, his isn't a change, but yes, then that'll be a change.
Vote.
Copies will be a change.
An organization that's giving money to the city, you have to not vote on it.
Quick question. Are we voting at all on public hearing B, or is that purely informational? There's no vote.
There's no vote because that's.
I will share briefly. I think tonight might be long compared to typical meetings, so given the items. And so we have gone ahead and gotten some refreshments in the break room. So if you have a break,
like 10 o'clock or something.
That does actually raise a question. 10. At what point is a break?
You know, it depends on
10 to 10.
The guy with the gavel depends on how much he wants everybody to be uncomfortable. So
are you drinking water tonight?
That's right.
give him a
watery coffee.
A bottle of water.
If I think you're speaking too much, I'm not going to give you a break.
We need to officially.
That's the power of the gavel.
There is a certain power there.
The first. Are we still in council?
He wasn't talking like this before.
Really, and mics are still on.
Can we say we're adjourned?